Did I remember a reference that you didn't, James?
Fuck. Oh, it's going to be that kind of night.
I should not remember it. One thing I did remember, though, is to say, greetings, Apropos-y, and buckle up for the sex. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
With your hosts.
Salsa.
James.
And Jenna.
And our very special guest.
Philip Lowe. Hey, hey.
Yay! Returning very special guest.
Hey.
So listeners, we are we're recording online because it is still the COVID times and guests are frightening. So what?
In case the audio quality didn't clue you in.
Right.
Well, always that.
There will be lag. There will be sadness. There might be some in and out. Somebody might drop. It's gonna be an adventure.
And there will also be drinks. Speaking of which, yes. What are y'all drinking?
I'm going classic, and I have a Dr. Tiki.
That's this is advisable. My surprised face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good choice.
Dr. Tiki is Kahlua and Dr. Pepper, and it is delicious. Cool.
What you got, James?
I have chosen a Venn Brewing Company limited release. This is their lemon hibiscus sour. There's a sour ale with lemon hibiscus. Of course.
It
actually says, of course.
Okay. I love the diagram on that can.
It's a beautiful... All of their artwork is gorgeous. Yes.
Venn diagram?
It
literally is.
All right, I'm good. I'm done.
All of their art is super gorgeous too. Their t-shirts are beautiful.
Yeah. Well, and the best part is every diagram they make is technically a Venn diagram.
Accurate. I suppose.
This is really bright and
you're really not bright.
Oh, that's a lie.
No, is he?
No.
That one went
poorly. Only in ending stupidity. My blinding stupidity is right. But this has a really subtle flavor. Subtle bees. Mm. It's floral and delicious.
All right. What are you drinking, Salsa?
I am drinking. So yesterday was Halloween, in case you missed it. I was like, oh, sweet. I've got gummy bears. I'm going to make a horrible cocktail.
Oh, Jesus.
So I took gummy bears and I soaked them in vodka for 24 hours. And then I made a cocktail using cake vodka and triple sec. Jeez. And I put all of the
that looks like something at an arcade that a claw
I rejected at a sorority house.
Oh yeah, no, this isn't going to be good. I know this, but
that
this
looks
is
like something I plunged at a frat house.
But this is going to be a candy cocktail, and that's what I was going for. So
no, there you go. Now
I'm just thinking my kid has a bag full of Halloween candy downstairs that I could start dumping into whatever I'm drinking.
Just being
the worst dad ever.
Starburst, jelly beans. Bet there's some good stuff there. Yes, Salsa?
Salsa is not available at the moment.
Surprisingly enough.
Oh, there we go.
It's not as terrible as I thought it was going to be.
He says chewing.
Well, yeah, the gummy bears.
No, I know.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of terrible.
Oh, man.
But kind of okay, too. Yeah.
See, this is how I feel about circus peanuts and many other things, where just, like, I understand why other people don't like them, but I super do.
I think if I had time to soak the gummy bears a little longer so they got nice and soft.
Sure.
Yeah.
Because they are still a little chewy.
Yeah, you are definitely chewing an awful lot for vodka-infused gummy bears.
Honestly, I thought the cake vodka was going to be terrible, but the triple sec kind of brings it down to earth a little bit.
Okay.
Sure.
And then the vodka gummy bears are vodka gummy bears. What are you going to do?
Eat them?
Yeah.
Yep.
Mostly that. Oh.
Okay. Mr. Lowe.
Do you have a beverage?
I'm entirely predictable. I'm drinking the Minnesota State drink.
Yay! Yay, Jameson.
All right.
Nothing wrong with the Minnesota State drink?
I almost poured myself some Jameson because I was like, we're going to have Philip Lowe on. And we could be twinsies. We could be drink twinsies. But I really wanted my Dr. Tiki, so.
How hard is it to become a spokesman at this point? I mean, would they stop me if I just started? Well, I mean, I already do drop their name and everything I'm doing.
Depends on how you're dropping their name and what kind of an influence that has. Because if you're like, I could only have murdered these 18 babies with the help of Jameson, like, I'm pretty sure they'd be like, nope.
But they would acknowledge me, so.
Well, and one of those babies may have grown up to be Hitler, so.
Yeah, no, that's just doing the world a favor.
Yeah.
So thanks, Jameson.
Yeah, Jameson, no more baby Hitler. The ultimate endorsement.
Oh, buddy.
James, do not get a job writing taglines. Just don't.
What, are you really writing that down? Oh, Jesus.
No. No, I'm taking a trip tomorrow, so I'm filling out my luggage tags. It's a visual joke purely for you as performers of the podcast that the audience is missing.
Aw, you're so sweet to us. What else have you been doing, James?
I did a wedding.
Yeah, you did. That was a fast wedding, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, like, Wait.
So I'm scrolling Facebook and I see James and two other people in like a wedding ceremony on my Facebook. And I'm like, did I just stumble across a wedding on Facebook? This is delightful. Because they had live streamed it. And I got it just at the beginning, too. So it was great. 2 minutes later, it was done. And I was like, wow, I didn't know that James could withhold that much air or be that concise, really. Yeah,
it took a lot of planning and editing.
Okay
Yeah. I liked the way you said it first. I didn't know James could withhold that much air.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I felt it might be a little too artistic, too poetic, so I clarified. But anyway, you did a wedding, James.
Yeah, two boothies surprised me by asking me if I would perform their wedding. These are boothies of old, sort of, who are well known during the tournament. We all know the name Stedman, but they are familiar to many boothies and lovely folks. So of course I said, sure, yeah, I'd love to. And I was thinking, you know, next year. A little bit of a surprise when they said, well, we have our license and we would really like to use it. And I said, well, that means it's going to be sometime in the next 6 months. And they said, no, we got it quite a while ago. So it's going to be sometime this month, if possible. And I said, well, let's make a time. Let's do that. Yeah. Let's make that happen. And they planned a really beautiful reception and a nice ceremony in a lovely location. And then I was able to do the usual work of discussing with them what they wanted for the ceremony, brought up some things they hadn't thought of, you know, which is really, that feels more like the job of the officiant.
Right.
Is to like, okay, when this happens, how do you have this person picked out for this? Oh, no. Okay. All right. Let's talk about that.
I just picture you like, and over here we have your Unity symbols. Are you thinking of candle or are you thinking of Unity sand? just like
Unity sand. Oh, I, now that you know, I have seen that. No, you're correct. Yeah.
I totally did that like a few times. I had forgotten
completely that this was actually a thing. Unity sand.
They might call it something else, but that's basically what it is. It's you got your Unity candle, your the ribbons or ropes, the hand fasting nod, because it's not actually hand fasting because that's a Unity whatever. Side note, but like the that kind of a thing is a Unity symbol. I'm trying to think of other ones that I've
attaching
had.
Locks to specific objects that are, that was one that I did. There are a couple of different ones. Now I want a Unity symbol that is Unity kinetic sand, where they, each of them makes half of a dinosaur and then they stick them together and whatever dinosaur they've each chosen and whichever half they've chosen, We get to watch that happen in real time.
I like it.
I gotta ask. So what is Unity sand?
Okay. So you have a couple of different vessels of different colors of sand, right? You've got one person has like purple sand, one person has red sand or whatever. Right, and then you have an empty vessel that they both at the same time pour the sand into, creating kind of a sand art thing, and it symbolizes the joining of their two individual personalities into one life.
That's cool. I haven't seen that before.
Yeah. And then you have a neat little sand sculpture at the end. So
The joke answer for that is that it's sand where the physics are rendered in a particular 3D physics engine.
You need to work on your jokes, Unity. James.
Buddy,
I was just thinking the law of yin and yang being what it is. Somewhere there's got to be someone making division sand, right? Is
that like for divorces? Well, they make divorce cakes now, so I would think divorce sand, division sand.
Division sands is my my Pink Floyd concept album.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Nice.
I like that thing at the bank where you pour all your change in and it automatically sorts it for you. You just do that with your Unity sand and it
like that.
Separates the colors out. Oh my god.
Oh shit.
That got real weird. That got real weird and real awkward.
That's that's weird and dark and I love it.
I feel like when somebody invents that machine, we have taken the symbolism way too far. and people need to just bring it down a level.
What was I going to say? That what you just said about separating out the colors has me so nervous. I'm just not going to sort my laundry anymore. I'm just the white guilt has taken over, and it's just all going in at the same time. I can't handle
it. Things can go apartheid real fast in that situation.
Yeah.
So we don't want to. Yeah, maybe we'll avoid that.
Nope. I just wash everything on cold.
Do you don't already do that?
No, that is what I do. I said I just do that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
All right. Good
so
job,
who was that? That was James's turn. Okay.
Yeah. Whatever. I have a feeling it's going to be one of those I'm talking over everybody tonight. Good luck. You know, unlike every other night.
Right.
Makes no sense to me. Whatever.
So what have you been up to, Salsa?
What have I been up to? It's been Halloween. We did the Halloween thing. Took the little ones out for the trick-or-treating, and it went very well this year, actually. Considering how badly things have sometimes gone in the past years, sugar-laden meltdowns. This year... This year, both of my children decided independently of each other that they wanted to be owls.
Oh my god, yes.
Lilibeth, my daughter, specifically wanted to be a snowy owl.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And my son specifically wanted to be a great horned owl.
Yes, I was hoping for great horned. Okay.
I know my daughter got to this by Harry Potter. I don't know how my son got to great horned owl, but he did, and more power to him. But again, independently of each other, they somehow ended up both on owls. Not a problem. So my wife was like, cool, I'll buy white fabric and colored fabric and we'll make these costumes real quick and it'll be great.
Yeah.
So she got the costumes put together. We went to, you know, the pumpkin patch last week. I talked about that. Mm-hmm. We got the pumpkins and we carved the pumpkins. My son made a pumpkin with big horns and scratches across it. And my daughter made an owl on hers. She's kind of got a theme going.
I can appreciate this. Yes,
indeed. I made a spider web on mine. My wife had a ghost on hers. But we got all the pumpkins done. And then we went trick-or-treating, and the kids did fine. Like, we did the trick-or-treating, they filled up their bucket, we got back to the house, and they were done. There was no complaining, there was no crying, there was no, I want to eat all of the candy now. It was just like, okay, it's time for bed, and okay, it was time for bed. Which,
so nice when they get to that point.
I know, right? It was great.
I'm so happy for you.
My daughter was a little bit bummed out because she and a friend of hers who lived a couple blocks down had been talking to each other about going trick-or-treating together and didn't bother to tell any parents.
Talk to parents, yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And so it was like, no, we didn't. Nope. So, but we did go past their house and they did, you know, say hi to each other, but that was it. And they were a little disappointed about that. But again, should have told someone, we could have made this happen.
Right.
But no, it was pleasant. I did appreciate the one house. They were having their Halloween party on their front yard.
Okay.
It's COVID, you know, can't have it inside. So
sure.
So they had a fire going in their front yard and they were having a little Halloween party there. And they had their little bowl of candy there, and while the kids are picking through the bowl, the parent at, you know, at the party doing the trick-or-treating station, looks at my wife and I, is like, do you want a shot of Fireball?
Yes.
And my wife doesn't like Fireball, so she turned it down. She was like, no, that's okay. And I was like, I would like a shot of Fireball. Yes, please. And so she pulls out this big bottle of Fireball and these little plastic shot glass. Not plastic, paper. Little shot glass, like a little.
Okay.
Paper. Oh yeah, little Dixie cups.
Yeah, little paper Dixie cup shot glass, and pours some Fireball in there and gives it to me, and I was like, trick or treat, thank you very much. This is, yay, candy for me.
when I get a house, seriously, that's how I'm doing it. I'm gonna have candy for the kids and booze for the adults.
Yeah.
That's.
Yeah.
There was the house on the corner where they just bought it and moved in like 2 months ago.
Oh wow.
And so they were out on the front, they were out on their lawn also with a fire pit. And they had a bowl with full size candy bars on the corner. Mm. And we walk up and they're like, take two. And we're like, what? You're two full size candy bars? And they were like, yeah, we're the new people in the block and we need to, you know. Set a good example. And we're like, okay. Yeah, everybody's going to like you from now on. That's for sure.
But, well done, kids. Yep.
But yeah, no, we did that. And then once we got back to that, we went like three blocks up and back, up one side, down the other, and their buckets were pretty full. So then we drove over, we hopped in the car, and I drove the kids over to the Glovers because they live... three
blocks. Yeah, that's right. They're not that far from you guys now. Yeah.
So I drove them over to the Glovers, and it was kind of funny because Molly opened the door and was focused on the kids and didn't even see me Because it's Halloween. You don't look at the parents. Hey, you look at the kids. You look at the costumes, the parents, whatever. Who cares? So she's talking to the kid. Hey, you know, hey, great costumes, blah, blah, blah. And then I don't even remember what I said, but she like looked at me, you know, like actually looked and was like, holy shit.
Nice.
Chatted with them for a couple minutes and then drove the kids over to their aunt's house. So they could trick-or-treat at their aunt's house and aunt could see their costumes. And we went home and got them right into the shower to wash off the face paint and bundled them off to bed.
Yeah.
Nice.
It was Halloween.
Very nice.
Amazing.
Yeah, it was not terrible.
So did you encounter any of those shoots? I took my kid trick-or-treating for the first time, like we didn't last year.
Mm-hmm.
But like some people are still doing the thing where they'll like...
Have, oh yeah,
like, little pipes or things. Well, they'll drop the candy down.
We don't have enough hills for that. we just had bowls. There was a lot of houses that just had a bowl of candy at the end of their walkway. And
I saw somebody's solution to that was a little zip line run between the mailbox and the house, like the front porch, and the zip line, like the little pulley robot that would run up and back the shuttle had a ghost attached to the bottom with like little grabby hands and they would rubber band bags of candy to the ghost's grabby hands. So the kids would show up and they would push the trick or treat button next to the mailbox. And then the person sitting up on the porch would just hit a button and this ghost would fly out to them with candy in its hands, just like reaching
out toward them. That's adorable.
Yeah. And then
already see a problem with that because that works great when there's one kid. But when eight of them show up at the same time, that's going to, you just got to get it out there and bring it back and rubber band another one of your hands. They're going to get it out there and they're bad.
I think at that point, you just switch to the slingshot.
Just start pelting kids with bags of candy.
Trebuchet the candy out like, to them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, trebuchet, yeah.
Oh. I still love the idea of the fireball whiskey. This.
Yeah.
You know, like they've got a kid shoot and an adult shoot. The one where they just pour fireball whiskey down it and you have to stand at the other end, with your hands cupped.
Funnel, yeah.
Oh, no, James, the candy pult.
Candy pult, there you go.
There it is.
Okay.
All right.
I'm so proud of you guys.
The gumballista.
Ooh.
Yeah. So there's that. And I think the grown-up one is just a super soaker filled with fireball.
Ooh. Oh, don't get that in your eyes, though. Do not get that in your eyes.
Oh, yeah.
You wear your safety goggles to that house.
Yeah. I'll take that risk. That's a good idea.
Look, I've been to a couple hibachis, and
I mentioned it online, and Pedantic Eric was saying that the liquor stores had little airplane bottles of fireball. So maybe
those would sail really well. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's probably a better way to go than free.
You strap them to the little plastic parachute troop.
These are all terrible ideas and I love it.
good. All
right. Well, again, I would love to give my yearly Halloween advice, a day too late. But parents, when you go trick or treating, make sure to bring your water bottle filled with water.
Yeah. And the other thing I did was we celebrated my father-in-law's 60th birthday.
Oh, wow.
The way we do every year with Russian food and vodka.
Yes.
Which is,
Yes.
Winner.
Mm-hmm. We got a bunch of food. Dinner. We got a bunch of food from Moscow on the Hill, like we do every year. And then my father-in-law made a big batch of borscht, which was so good. And then we had vodka and food, and then some more vodka, and then a bit more vodka for dessert.
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys think about having some vodka, though?
I've heard they've had...
Had not considered it. Might have to give that a go.
What about second vodkas? I don't know. What about second vodkas? 11
I was going to say, we had Russian food and Russian vodka. Isn't that a little redundant?
Yeah.
The potatoes that are not good enough to drink are the ones that we eat.
Yes.
Ooh, I like the way you said that. Yeah. Yeah.
What have you been up to?
I watched Clueless for the first time. Movie comes out in 1995, and it takes me 25 years to see it.
Sure.
I really can't say anything. I haven't seen it.
Okay, so my thoughts on it were, like, it took me a little bit to actually get into the movie. Because the characters are incredibly vapid. Because they're supposed to be, right? And that doesn't make me want to connect to anything that's happening.
Right.
And then they start to show, like, actualization outside of their bubble, and I'm like, okay, now I can start to get into this. But, like, man, that 10, 15 minutes was just like, oh my god, why are we watching this? Paul Rudd as a baby is just weird. Because he both has aged significantly and has not aged at all simultaneously.
What a jerk.
Like, he's always got that baby face, but it was weird. It was real weird. And I think it was a really good adaptation of Emma. It was all Jane Austen-y, full of class and feminism and structures and all the rest of it. So, yeah.
I did not realize it was an Emma retelling.
Yep.
Yeah. It was one of the famous 90s retellings of classical literature, along with 10 Things I Hate About You.
Which we saw afterwards, because 10 Things I Hate About You is my all-time favorite. Good. It's my favorite. Oh, yeah.
And, of course, you may not know it, but Baz Luhrmann's Romeo and Juliet is actually a retelling of a much older, some Shakespeare play.
Oh,
have you seen O?
I have not, but I know that that's Othello, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good.
All right.
Yeah.
I did talk to Joe afterwards, so we were discussing whether or not we should do a movie marathon, much like we did for my birthday last year. But instead of 80s movies, it would be movies with 90s movies featuring bands. Has to be a band playing in the movie.
Empire Records.
Oh, wow.
Uh-huh.
Empire Records.
Empire Records.
Wayne the Man, Save the Empire.
Bogus Journey would be another one.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
We ended up with a list of about 7 or 8.
Wayne
and then
Gold.
I was like, okay, but how many of these are going to be problematic?
All of them.
Shit.
Yep.
So we're back down to 2. and then we're like, then do we do it with the disclaimer that these are from the 90s and therefore are likely problematic and just, you know, take it for the time it was created in? Or do we shift gears and we do movies that are literature adaptations, like 10 Things or Clueless or The Lion King or whatever, and do something like that, which I think is classier. But I don't know if that's what I want.
Fair enough. Well, what you could do is just turn the problematic elements into a drinking game.
Oh. Oh, God, we'd all die.
Yeah.
Some of us would die.
There is that risk. Yeah. Jenna is like 90% liver by volume.
At this point, yeah.
Yeah.
So, anyway. Yeah, saw Clueless, saw 10 Things I Hate About You. Oh, we also saw Ant-Man and Ant-Man 2. Because after I saw
Paul Rudd,
I was like, well, now I need some not baby Paul Rudd. And like I said, looked eerily similar. It was not okay.
On a Rudd kick, huh?
Yeah. Well, I wanted to see something. I had kind of a shitty weekend overall. And so I wanted to watch something that was silly, lighthearted, that I didn't have to overthink, something I'd seen a lot, something that, like, yeah, just did not need to take seriously in any way, shape, or form. And Joe was like, Ant-Man? And I was like, yes, sir. That sounds delightful.
You made a better choice than me.
I mean, that often happens.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
I'm reminded this weekend for the Halloweens was Bryn's first viewing of Aliens, any of the movies in the Alien franchise, but Aliens.
Okay. Right.
Which I had remembered as being kind of brotastic jock comedy horror. Right? I think that's Alien 3. I think that's Alien 3 and not Alien 2.
Say.
Alien 2 is way more tense than I remembered.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's also like one of my favorite movies, and I'll let you figure out why. But
that was also a reason that it was Bryn found it like more than acceptable. But also,
no, I think 2 is the best movie. And they just should have stopped there.
I mean, I would tend to agree. I forgot that it, especially in the second half, it just does not let the fuck up.
Nope, at all.
Even like for even a moment, it's just on the gas the whole time. So you were watching a series of Paul Rudds. A multiverse of Paul Rudds.
Oh, I like that. The Ruddiverse. The Ruddiverse and other babyface tales. Coming out this February.
Abandoned Burnsville already.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Really, I just want to see how many times any production that I'm involved with or product that I'm involved with can be banned in Burnsville. Because that is when I get up to the pearly gates and they're going to be like, what was your biggest accomplishment? And I say I was banned in Burnsville 17 times. They're going to be like, come on in. Like, that's it. That's the great plan.
This is an excellent plan.
Yep.
Should we take a break?
Let's take a break.
We're going to take a break.
Hey, everybody. You should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for Apropos of Nothing.
I would be alarmed if my voice did that too, honestly. Be like, oh, Jesus Christ, what did I do last night?
And we're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
I'm Jenna.
And I'm Phil.
Yay!
Right. We did it.
Woo.
Speaking of,
made my cocktail again.
Oh!
But this time, I took a splash of the vodka that the gummy bears had been marinating in overnight, and I added that to the cocktail.
It's gonna be gummy thick.
How is?
Ooh, it is. It's very gummy berry now.
Yeah.
Gummy bears bouncing here and there.
Yes, I'll have another one of those.
I feel like this is the secret to gummy berry juice.
I'm calling this a gummy berry juice. Brilliant. Hey. Thank you.
Yep.
All right.
James, anyway. Accidental genius.
I always want to invent really new drinks, kind of but then I'm always struck by the fact that any idea I have, I'm sure some other drunk idiot.
Oh, absolutely. but the thing is,
put your flag on it.
It's not it's not like these are copyrighted or trademarked or anything like that.
You can't have it. There's 600 million of us here. You have a flag.
To be fair, there is no governing body for cocktails, is there? You could walk into a bar and be like, I would like a Manhattan, and they give you like a rum and cola and be like, well, that's what we call a Manhattan here.
Really, I really feel like we need to form a governing body.
I was about to say, gentlemen,
I feel like
we have new purpose. Mm-hmm. I feel like we have a task to achieve.
The Minnesota Cocktail Council. Possibly.
MCC, I feel like that's been used.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Minnesota Mixed Drinks and Tinctures Council.
I just think Council of Cocktail.
Or and we can be Council cocks. For short.
Yeah. Just be cocks.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I was thinking if you do Minnesota Ethanol Council, then we could be mech.
I mean, I'm kind of about that as well. If it's the Council of Cocktails International, then everything we have is a cocky decision.
Ooh, I like that. We have to get international, though.
Yeah, but then we would be MCI.
Cocktails United Front, something. Off the cuff, yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, no, the People's Judean Front.
The Cocktail Front of Judea.
That's it, yes. Cocktail Front of Judea.
Oh my god.
Yeah, it's good old CO for me.
A governing body, then someone has to commit to leading the rebellion against, you know, the vigilante bartender.
Oh yeah, the proletariat.
Registered drinks.
Vigilante Bartender's a great band name.
That is a good band name.
So good.
Oh no, either that or a comic book. I would watch Vigilante Bartender.
Vigilante Bartender might be my Tom Waits album.
That's nice.
That's pretty good, actually.
That's real good. I like it.
I'm sorry. Pablo,
so anyway,
you're
what
here.
Were we doing? Hey, Pablo.
What up?
Why are you here? Why are you important? What do you mean to us? What is the meaning of life?
There are many
justify your existence.
I decline to justify my existence.
Good answer.
I've seen your art. I believe you have very clearly stated that you will not do such a thing.
Shit. Hey, Jenna, Vilten tryouts are next February.
She'd never get in.
No, I wouldn't. 100%. So anyway, going back to you.
Fuck.
I'm me. I'm another one of those art guys who writes things and makes things. And the reason I usually shoot you guys an email when I have something I want people to know about. Can you tell that I'm doing this off the cuff? I'm an improv master.
Either that or this is brilliantly scripted.
Yes, and performed.
It looks spontaneous.
It really does. Good job.
Wow, the writer did an amazing job on
you
dialogue.
Must have worked hours on this.
Honestly, yeah, the scenery and special effects are killing it for me right now.
I didn't know you could do the lake effect ripples, though. That's kind of neat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For the
water effects on your budget. Well done.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah,
the flashback sequence.
Yes, as we've all learned in the live streaming era, it requires no budget to create visual effects.
But you should really find a buddy that's willing to push those buttons for you while you're performing. Fucking A, that's a
Who am I, the Queen of England?
You just have to be a project manager if this podcast is any indication.
Because you've been doing this too, Jenna, the live streaming, trying to work your own tech as you're performing.
Yeah.
To varying degrees of progress.
Yeah, I noticed the disclaimer, the qualifier, trying to.
I very successfully ran limited tech for a show. And I hated every minute of it. And I'm never doing it again in the end. I'm not going to say never. Don't ever say never. But we hit a break, remind me to show you my green screen. But no, I did do the show with my own tech for Fringe, the virtual online thing.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. Nope. One run was enough for me. Thank you very much. I learned a good number of things and I'm good.
So the worst part of it, because I totally dove on the live streaming grenade.
Mm-hmm.
The pandemic, like I did so yep. many shows, but the thing that kills me is in a live show, in in-person show, when things go wrong, you can look out at the audience, you can make a joke about it, you can acknowledge it in some way. If something goes wrong during a live stream, you lose your ability to communicate with the audience.
Frequently. Oh my god, it's so awful. Oh god. I think the worst was when my mic stopped working, which is actually literally losing my ability to communicate with the audience. Like straight up.
Very definition. Yeah.
And yeah. I'm just like, I'm going to put on some music quick while I swap batteries. It had been on the charger, I guess not well enough or whatever. But like, so I got to swap to music. And what ended up playing was my pre-show announcement that I had Kessin do for me. I'm like, ah, son of a... nope. And I can't joke that one out either. I just need to be like, well, switch to music. Now we'll deal with it. Yeah. And I'm just like, I kind of hope I don't have an audience right now. I have no way of knowing, but like, this is horrifying.
The wonders of live streamed theater.
And not being able to make a joke about it means that you're defaulting to taking the situation very seriously.
Yep. Yeah, because you can't make a joke. You have no way to assess how the audience is handling this. They might think this is the funniest damn thing ever, and you don't even need to worry about it. But yeah, like if you don't have that feedback coming from the audience, you don't know how to help them work through your shared experience problem of you fucking up. Mm-hmm. So, like, yeah. So you have done a lot more streaming stuff though.
I've
done some storytelling stuff, but I haven't fucked with my own tech for the rest of that. It's just been talking, which is great. So what all have you been doing?
For the pandemic, like
a
whole bunch of stuff. Yeah, I kept the Not So Silent Planet going via Zoom, although it was curated. I just reached out to some of our most frequent performers and asked them to, as opposed to just because I felt like an open mic is chaotic enough when everyone's in a room together and I have that level of control.
Right. But like,
running an open mic.
No, that's 100% accurate. Yeah.
I think a Zoom open mic would be just hell on earth.
Yeah.
I mean, you know how I like organizing things and how I like taking chaos and creating something out of it. I don't want that job. Mm-mm. No. Mm-mm.
But yeah, I've been sort of fascinated by, because I've done a couple of online fringes. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I put the scare quotes around it.
It was for the audience.
The audience.
They exist.
For the audience. That's right. I can hear it.
But it has been like legit fascinating to watch everyone trying to problem solve this in different ways. And everyone picking a different gimmick or a different. And for me, my thing has definitely been animated backgrounds. I use a green screen and a PowerPoint, and I run like slides and animations that reflect what I'm talking about behind me. So
sure.
I adapted a bunch of shows that way just because I don't know. I was feeling like I don't want to just keep doing what I'm doing into a webcam. I want to find a way to use this or to
I remember early in the pandemic, there were improv theaters and small theaters that were doing classes on how to use this new medium from people who had been doing it for a little while. Even though it wasn't widespread at that time, lots of people were suddenly thrust into this online streaming environment, and having people teach you how to interact with the audience that you can't hear, teaching you how to interact with your fellow performers who are, you know, geographically separated by massive distances, sometimes overseas, that it was this brand new thing. So people like you, who are at the forefront, who are not only adopting that information, but then creating something brand new, led the charge for everybody else and created a foundation for us, like early animators or like early talking films, things like that, but a brand new technology for entertainment.
Yeah, and the best part of it for me is that it was totally voluntary on my part. I think my favorite was, because I did a couple of fringes this way, but the Providence Fringe Festival committed to everything, every show being live streamed, no pre-recorded.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
So everyone tried something different. Like, there was a guy who did this one-man show about addiction that was entirely in his apartment and with someone else holding a camera following him around as he interacted with things, and like,
wow,
okay. He was in a shower at one point. He, you know, it was very cool. Like,
that is
there was another doing like a sci-fi show, and I just remember, like, it was a lot of clever stuff. They had a whole looking through a telescope thing where they put something over their webcam. They'd made like this pulley thing with puppets on it where they lay on their back and pulled it to show like things they were thinking about. Moving over them. Wow. Like a lot of people got
stream
clever.
Of consciousness. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was very cool.
Kirsten Wade, Kirky, previous guest of the podcast, or not previous, but prior. May she rest in peace. did a full like children's show. In her apartment, and it was bonkers and like very weirdly reminiscent of early kids programming.
In PBS, in, like,
Captain Kangaroo or Roundhouse or something. Yeah,
yeah.
Romper room shit going
what a,
on.
What a weird renaissance part in. Yeah. Tell me a little bit about if this is a good question, if this is something you want to talk about. Tell me about is there anything that you yourself invented that you're especially proud of with the online streaming shows?
Well, that's a terrible question, and you should be ashamed for asking it. But
oh, thank God! Shot. I was worried.
We were all thinking it. Don't worry.
No, I'd be very hesitant to take the inventing the we're all dabbling and stealing things from each other and I really dived onto the interacting with animated backgrounds thing because I felt like it was the thing that still let me do what I was good at, which is to stand and talk and communicate a story while still doing something that was visually interesting to watch.
Yeah.
But I'm also like, I'm a pretty intensely text focused guy. So like, the text was never going to go.
Well, I'm sorry. What's the name of your company again? Is it
It's Minimum Verbosity. It revolves around using as little speech as possible. So
okay. Yeah. Yeah.
And it communicates that so succinctly.
Yes, indeed.
So then,
in the last month, I've been among those oozing our way back into theaters.
Yeah.
Again, with, all the uber cautious, proof of vaccination and masks and et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But, finally getting back into a room with other human beings. And, that's definitely like the most brutal part of all this. It's the, I mean, everyone here does comedy. We're all used to the notion.
Allegedly. Let's not go too far. James is in the room
tells
here.
Themselves yeah. that they I would do like comedy.
To, I'd like to request some scare quotes around my comedy.
There we go.
Thank you.
All right.
But I mean, fortunately, I've spent most of my adult life performing to no audience response, so I adapted very easily.
Oh, God. Oh, that's horrible and wonderful all at the same
time. It's funny because it's true.
I applaud you.
It's funny because it's sad, and it's sad because it's true.
Yep.
Oh.
Thereby, transitive property.
Transitive property. Yes. Yeah. Thank you, James.
But yeah, it's brutal, you know, to be squinting into a webcam as you're telling your jokes and just speculating wildly about what response you might be getting. And I mean, some people.
The thing that everybody has said is they don't know if the audience is responding. But on the other hand, they don't know if the audience is not responding either. So for some performers that have like anxiety, this might have been an amazing moment for them to be like, as far as I know, they're laughing their ass off.
It's a Schrodinger's punchline.
Indeed.
You might be dying up on stage, but the only way to know is to open the box.
I know some companies were trying to do that thing where they were encouraging audience members to leave their microphones on to record their responses, and for speaking for myself, it never approximated. You would just hear like scattered people tittering to themselves. It's not like a crowd response.
It depends on what their audio settings are. If their microphone is only picking up after a certain decibel level, their chuckles don't pick up until suddenly they kick in. Like, I'm sure it sounded weird.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, and I think a lot of people were just too afraid to actually say things even when they were being encouraged to.
Oh, sure.
Like, I didn't sign up to be on the Zooms.
Yeah. I mean, my default is when I get into a room, I mute myself.
Uh-huh.
Like, that's the very before I even start the camera, I mute myself. Mm-hmm. You know? Because I'm not an asshole.
Yeah, I did a few of those.
Oh, go ahead, Jenna.
Okay. I did a few of those storytelling shows in a Zoom room where they were encouraging people to laugh. Mm-hmm. And like, so I was doing my part. And what's even more awkward than having a little bit of scattered laughter is having one person enthusiastically laughing.
Oh, God. Don't I
do not recommend.
James.
No, I did that. I just said I did that. And like within the first 2 minutes, I figured out, nope, I'm just going to go back here. I'm like, I'm not helping anymore.
No, I'm saying James is the real life version of that.
But yeah, I totally did that. It was like, there was one guy, one storyteller in a slam or something that I was doing was like, he got distracted by me laughing and nobody else laughing. And I'm like, God, I'm making it worse. I'm making it worse. Go away. Where'd my mute go? So,
we're already committed to running our own tech. Did you ever consider just giving yourself a laugh track? You know, you just hit a button on your keyboard.
That's a grim day.
Oh, no, wrong button.
It's not that easy, is it? Uh-oh. I think it caught out. I think, Salsa.
Did it not go?
Mm-mm.
Kind of.
It started, and
it
then
sounded
it
sounded like a toilet flushing.
Kind of, yeah. Oh,
it may be more appropriate.
Well, yeah, that is most appropriate.
Nope.
Nope.
Can we at least get the dings?
No, we had this problem last time.
Yeah.
Remember me very loudly going, dang, every time we got
We'll figure it out. We'll get it. We'll figure it out. Anyway, where were we?
This is definitely capturing the essence of what we have.
Absolutely.
100%.
There was a whole Ville show that centered around a series of games in the middle, one of which was Tim Wick making sound with some piece of equipment or something like that. And then other people trying to mimic whatever sound it was, like opening a can of soda or ringing a bell, shaking a tin can full of nails and bolts and stuff. And what ended up happening was he had his filter set to remove noise, non-speech, and it was really good because his voice came through perfectly, but absolutely every voice, every non-voice thing, because the filter was turned on, every non-voice thing just got a little. So he's like, "Well, surely you can hear this," and he's just going ham on a drum right there into the microphone. Fucking nothing, zero sound, just his face, just like, and we're losing it. You hear us all laughing at him. Nothing from him. Yeah. So it's, this is one of the technical challenges. Like you said, is the filter that very, you know, kindly, very handily removes non-voice stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, leaves us stranded for the
I'll futz with the audio settings in the break.
Yeah.
Sure.
But, fuck, what a memory. And live theater would have probably never have given us that
specific moment.
That perfect Christmas ham of Tim Wick's frustration. Like this beautiful, this delicate, perfect meal. Fuck. Yeah.
Yep. So anyway, Mr. Lowe.
And also I wrote another book. That was the main thing.
Oh, right. Getting back to the very first question.
Why are you here? We could have led with that, but I'm very glad we didn't. What's the book?
It's called Monsters in a Mirror, Strange Tales from the Chapel Perilous. And it's a horror collection. It's a bunch of short stories about very nasty things happening to otherwise perfectly nice people.
Oh, well, that sounds pleasant.
Wonderful, yeah.
It shouldn't.
Yeah, I mean,
we all define that differently.
Yes.
Don't try to objectify my subjective.
Is that the technical term for "don't yuck my yum"?
Pretty close, yeah.
Sounded a lot classier. I've never heard it
expressed
for sure
that way before.
Yeah. Well,
new bumper sticker.
In honor of our guest, I used the maximum of my verbosity in stating that. Bam.
Question about maximum verbosity. Is that a reference to Zork?
Yes, it is. You're one of the few people to catch it.
Fuck, it's so good.
So Infocom, which is a company that made text adventures back in the day, they had three different settings for descriptions. It was brief, super brief, and verbose. When you walked into a room, how much detail it would give you. And if you wrote verbose, the standard parser response was maximum verbosity. So
nice.
Beautiful.
So when I was born, our very first show, you know, I had my cast together and I was like, we need a name to put this under. Do you have any suggestions? And they said no. And I said, okay, well, everyone go home and try to come up with some suggestions and we'll look at that. And then they didn't do that. And then
what a surprise.
Awesome. and then I came up with a bunch of suggestions and said, look, let's just pick between these. And they said they hated all of them. And I said, look, just pick the one that you hate the least. And that is how maximum verbosity was born. So
lovely.
Beautiful.
Absolutely lovely.
The title we hated the least.
That is the title of my memoirs.
Oh.
James was just holding up his physical box of the Infocom's Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy text adventures. Which Douglas Adams worked on. It's a classic.
Nice. It still
has all the really stupid pack-in stuff, the cardboard sunglasses and the
fluff.
Yeah.
I remember in the game, in your inventory at the beginning of the game is no tea, because Arthur Dent has no tea.
Awesome.
Like it.
Very cool. So you have this book and it's coming out. It has come out. It will come out. Is there a date for which the book will be coming out? And if so, where and how do I get one?
It's out. Launch was October 15th. Ooh. At Strike Theater. It was the first live performance I've done in 18 months. Wow. And it's on Amazon. It's, you can go online and type in Monsters in a Mirror or my name, and it should show up. And
it better. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, Jesus. Oh, God.
We paid a lot of money to make sure that it would.
It turns out they let any idiot put their books up there, so...
I'm an idiot.
It also turns out I'm any idiot, so it's all very fortuitous.
Nice. Well done. Oh, yay. So then do you have other projects coming up? I'm just waiting for Salsa to tell us when we need to start rapping.
I'll keep plugging.
Monsters in a Mirror, Strange Tales from the Chapel Perilous. By Philip Andrew Bennett Lowe.
With no reviews currently. I'm hoping to change that soon.
Have you ever been tempted to go in and review your own shit?
No, never. As with every author, I've considered it, and as with most ethical authors, I have rejected that choice. Because there's no way it would be degrading for everyone involved.
What we're saying is, dear listeners, I will be putting a link to this book in the show notes. You should go buy that book and then leave a review on Amazon so that he deserves one.
Yes, so that he deserves one.
You cut out just a little bit, Salsa, while you were doing that.
I just heard review and deserves. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, no, you we got the
crux. Give him the review he deserves.
But not the one he needs.
Jesus, man. That's right up there with may you get everything your heart desires and live in interesting times.
Or have the day you deserve.
Yeah. Anything else coming up for you?
Oh, yeah. Not So Silent Planet's still going. Next show is November something. Jesus. It's a Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Third Tuesday in November. The theme is space. If you have a story about space, you could do that.
We will let you look up the dates during the break, and then when we get to the plugs, we'll let you get that information out there.
That's a proper. Much better choice.
Indeed. So, but this means you actually have to go look it up in the break. Don't just, push it off like I usually do. So anyway, like I said, I will leave a link to that book in the show notes, and we're going to go take a break and then come back with our usual ridiculousness.
As opposed to our unusual ridiculousness.
Well, that is our usual ridiculousness.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
We're back. I'm Salsa.
Oh, yay.
I'm James.
That's right. I'm Jenna.
I'm Phil.
Yay!
And it's time for a Fast Five.
Fast Five!
That was terrible.
No, we've had this conversation before, fucker. There is leg that I can't control, and James won't. So this is his fault.
Yeah. I very purposely, like, I started saying it before Salsa was done with the cue line in order that I would be first.
Huh. Anyway,
yep.
Today's Fast Five comes to us from... Hold on,
Yes. Well remembered.
Good, good.
Nope.
No.
No, what?
Oh, no.
It didn't pick up?
No.
No, we covered this. Okay.
Hey.
There you go.
McDonald.
Yay, Cole! I think you mean award-winning Cole McDonald.
The award-winning Cole.
Not to be confused with the other Cole who sometimes sends us Fast Fives. We have two Coles, so it can be confusing.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I should probably say, for those who aren't familiar, the Fast Five is you, the dear listener, sends us two emails. The first one contains the choices, and we have to make a choice. We don't know what any of it means. We just have to choose and justify our choices, and then we open up the second email and find out what it all means. As I said, we've got Cole. The first email says, question number one.
Nope.
No? Okay.
Try it again.
Okay, hold on.
Yeah, dang.
No, because he's freezing up a bit, too, so I don't know if it's that he's getting canceled out,
so quiet.
Or that he's so choppy right now that it's picking up,
all right.
But
question
he's not.
One. Question
ding.
Number one. Ding.
Ding.
Cursed. Cursed. Or cursed.
Can you spell cursed for me, please?
C-U-R-S-E-D or...
Okay.
C-U-R-S-E with a little above it, D.
Cursed.
Cursed. Okay.
Cursed.
Yep. I thought that was a spot on my screen at first. So.
But then it kept moving as you were scrolling.
Exactly. I scrolled up and down and it moved with it. And I was like, oh, no, that's part. So cursed or cursed. And I'm going to say cursed, obviously.
Yeah.
Cursed is the more vaudeville.
Because cursed the French.
I assume we're not allowed to say depends on context. We have to pick.
Correct.
Yes,
the whole gimmick here is So if you want context, you're breaking the game.
Then cursed it is.
Yeah. Why would you go with cursed when you can go with cursed?
Oh my goodness. I know, right?
See, no, you can try to... Phil, you can try to guess at the context if you want to. Like, which one is the classier way to say
I mean, my cursed, my right? lateral thinking answer would be accursed, but that wasn't one of the options. So.
Oh, no, not an option.
And I'm thinking about it like you can spell leaped or leapt. I like to spell it L-E-A-P-T, leapt. So and so the lion leapt across the gorge, something like that. It's a very athletic lion.
Gorges can
just feel like there's a difference between saying, you know, this is a cursed relationship and this is a cursed relationship. You know?
Right,
exactly.
Very
so much
way.
More drama behind cursed.
You convinced me.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Cursed.
Indeed. All right. Question number two. ding if that ding. Didn't go through.
Dang!
Step up or step off?
Hmm.
So, if I was going to fight James, I would have to step up.
Mm-hmm.
If James was going to fight me... wait, what was the other one? Step
off.
Off. Yeah. All right. So step up for me is when, you know, you're like, hey, I'm stepping up. I'm joining. Mm-hmm. I'm becoming a part of the thing that is happening.
Mm-hmm.
Step off is when I'm like, nope, never mind. I'm out. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So somebody insults my daughter. I am stepping the fuck up. Somebody insults James. Stepping off.
It was probably accurate.
If someone's insulting me, it's probably going to be an insult from your daughter.
Actually.
Yeah.
That seems the most likely, actually.
Perfectly. Yeah, memory serves.
Yeah. If statistics mean anything.
I think opportunity comes but once, and when it does, I choose to step up.
I am a conflict-averse youngest child, so I will step off.
Oh, there you go.
If somebody I work with, especially a peer or someone that I'm supervising, fucks up, I will tell them to step it up instead of telling them to step off. I instead of just like stopping them at what they're doing, I will try to help them to be better.
Okay.
Instead
surprising
of
no one,
them.
James took that in the kindest possible way.
No, it's sweeter than this cocktail I've got right now. And this cocktail is going to give me diabetes.
Why must I love everything I touch? Okay.
If I recall correctly from previous times doing this, the second email reveals the context, so it could totally be, do you step up to murdering 18 babies, or do you step off?
Exactly.
Oh, it absolutely could be.
That totally could be the context.
Uh-huh.
You are correct in your assessment.
Yeah. How did you know what the context was? I hadn't even opened the second email. My goodness.
Weird.
All right. Question.
I'm going to go with step up.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. Question number 3.
Ding.
We got a little
almost.
Bit. We got a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah. It was good
I was
enough.
Just
good
about
enough.
To say, I don't know why I keep trying if it's not working, but if it's
no,
almost
we got
working,
a little bit, but then James was also... James was also dinging at the same time.
Yeah.
I don't know if that affected it or not.
Damn it, James.
I mean, my guess is that it didn't. Yeah, James.
I think it's because Salsa was making a sound with his voice at the same time, which leaves the mic open.
I didn't think he was, but okay.
Well, if I just do like a low hum...
Well, you froze there, so that didn't know. No.
I don't know, but I'm willing to do this for another 10 hours.
Question number 3. Envelope or enveloped?
Uh-huh. Ooh.
Oh.
Would you rather... I've got one.
Oh.
Would you rather get words of affirmation in an envelope?
Mm-hmm.
Or would you rather get comfort in physical form by being enveloped in a hug?
That's exactly what I was going to say. Exactly.
God damn it! Get out of my head.
Yeah, but I like it better when
it's so squishy and warm in here.
Yeah. Ew. Mm-hmm. Gross.
Also, when you get angry, it tingles.
That's true. That's why I get angry a lot. It's fun.
Yes, I would rather be enveloped in a hug than get an envelope with words.
I am not much of a touch person overall. Mm-hmm. If it is the right person, I would much rather get the hug. If it is a person that is not on my very short list of people that are allowed to touch me on the regular, then I would rather get the words. But I think if I had the choice between getting affirmation from somebody that close to me, I would definitely mm-hmm. want the hug.
So with the word enveloped, I notice you're all defaulting to something positive. And when I hear enveloped, I think of some like Lovecraftian nightmare.
Of course you do.
You know, absorbing me into itself. And that's what I want. So I pick
a giant flan. Okay. Yeah.
Mm.
Yes. Ooh, giant flan.
Could go for a flan right
also,
now.
Also, anybody that ever heard any of your work is like, that's not right.
Oh, yeah, no, this is absolutely on brand.
Mm.
I might choose envelope. It's more difficult for me to write someone a letter or to write them a thank you card. I bought a book about writing thank you notes.
Of course that I haven't finished. Jesus fucking Christ.
but I wish I was better at writing thank you notes and things like that. But it's very easy for me to sort of praise someone and like let other people know that they did a nice thing and to sort of surround them with affirmation in that way than it is for me to write something person to person.
All right.
Yeah.
I think we all chose, did we?
All right. Question number 4.
Oh, there was
that work?
It sounded like a little cymbal going.
Yeah. You know what?
That's all I care about.
Yeah. It counts. Yep.
Lead or led? LEAD, lead or led, or LED, led.
So it could be led or led.
It could be led or led.
Could be Led Zeppelin.
I wonder if this isn't a red Led Zeppelin. Do you know why?
Because that's how that happened.
What? Yep.
Yes.
Okay, you tell it, Jenna.
I think, do we all know? Okay. So Led Zeppelin wanted to be LEAD, but they went with LED instead because they figured Americans would be stupid and wouldn't know that it was supposed to be lead as opposed to lead.
Yeah.
That's 100% why it's Led Zeppelin LED.
Yep.
And they didn't want to be the flagship balloon. They didn't want to be the Led Zeppelin.
Yeah, when they first started in England, it was spelled LEAD. And when they got big and came over the pond, they changed the spelling.
Yep.
Makes sense.
Because we are stupid.
I'm going to go Led the second one.
I'm going to go lead.
Okay. I think I'm going to go with the second one no matter what. Because if it's lead or led, I would rather have already done it than have to contend with the stress of having to do it in the future. And if it's led and led, I would rather have led a group than weighed them down.
Okay.
With lead.
Yeah. That was the implied.
Yes. Yes. Thank you, James, for
good
clarifying
job.
That. You're pretty.
Not even a lot of that. So I guess I would say lead. It is more difficult for me to lead something than it is for me to participate in it. And I don't think I make things better. I make them more. and that's very difficult from the front.
yeah, I'm going lead.
Yeah.
Because I would rather follow a good lead than be led by followers.
Ooh.
There's your wordplay, bitches.
Solid wordplay right there.
Checkmate, atheist.
Thanks,
you know, Obama. I should say checkmate atheists more often. I'm like the only one in our friend group to where that's like a thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also a huge fan of In the Year of Jenna's Lord.
Yes.
That one makes me happy too.
I want a Philip Andrew Bennett Lowe story about eldritch gods devouring people that just ends with the words checkmate atheists.
Yes. Oh my
checkmate
god.
Checkmate atheists, you were right all along, and you're still going to be devoured by a fathomless terror from beyond the stars.
Yes. Actually, though, I want this. You're in charge.
I'm not, because I choose to be led. I chose to be led as soon as Jenna volunteered to lead, because I think I'm okay with that arrangement.
Yeah.
All right.
Fair enough.
That is fair. Okay. Question number 5.
I can't even hear what's coming out of your mouth.
But the face
it's
was
like
real
whatever,
good.
Whatever you were doing, whistling maybe. I'm not sure.
This is awful.
But
okay.
The noise canceling decided that whatever you were doing was wrong. He needed to stop.
All right, we'll try again. Question number 5. Did you hear it that time?
Press the button while you're saying question number 5.
We got, and then it just cut off. It was like somebody was in church and had been trying to hold back that fart, and there was just a little bit that came out. Like that's what that was. It was just that.
My dad tells the story of when my brother was a baby. They were in church, and it was, you know, church, so everybody's really quiet. And then this little, you know, couple months old baby who's learning how to use their voice just lets out a boop. And that's it. Just lets out a yelp. And all of the people in the church that jumped. It was rather amusing. Anyway, question number 5. Mittens or middens?
Okay, you were all chunky, but mittens or
mittens
what?
Mittens with a T or middens with a D?
Oh, God.
Middens with a D is a garbage pile or a bathroom.
Yes, yes. Yes, it is.
Then I'm going mittens. Because when we get the littles and they wear the little mittens, and it's so adorable.
I would rather that my farts go in the middens than in my mittens.
The fart covered,
that's true.
Yeah. Yes. I would rather keep my hands warm with a pair of mittens.
Oh, fuck. Oh, that could be it. Phil?
I am going with middens because I think that is much more likely to be my ultimate fate than mittens are.
All right.
Yeah, I feel like in all possible ways mittens is the right answer, and so I'm just knowing Cole, I'm going to go with middens just to hedge my bets.
Ew.
We'll find out if I have played this right or not, because we are now opening up the second email, and I no longer have to push this fucking button.
Yeah, but you're going to continue to push buttons, so.
Well, there's that.
Yeah.
Okay. Question number 1, cursed or cursed? How do you prefer your morning coffee, weak or strong? I like mine strong, so I'm going cursed.
Cursed.
I like mine rich, which generally integrates strong coffee into it.
Yes.
But like for
Jenna
my
likes
for
gold
my
flakes in hers.
Yes. But also like a very strong roast and then like creamer. As the day progresses, I can take less creamer. But I want that richness in the morning. So. Yeah.
I don't drink coffee, but I will definitely stick with the I would rather drink cursed coffee than cursed coffee. I assume sure. Cursed coffee tastes bad, and cursed coffee might take my soul in some form. So,
yeah.
Well, right now the way that I brew coffee is to use a French press, and I brew it so that I can't see any of the moving parts inside it.
Well, and as we all know, we curse the French.
It's true. Yes. But I have to say that is not as strong as the coffee that I used to drink when I worked security, which was I would brew a pot of coffee into instant coffee crystals and stir until thick. I may still be awake from that.
Yeah.
But it ate a hole straight through me. Like it was
Yeah, if you haven't found that ulcer yet, you should keep an eye out.
Yeah, I grew up.
It exists.
I grew up on cowboy coffee, which is, as the saying goes, you brew it so thick that a horseshoe will float.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a good saying. I like that.
So, yeah. Anyway, question number two. Step up or step off? How do you respond to a dance challenge?
Oh, nice. This is a movie reference.
Well, yeah, but this isn't a hypothetical for me. I did step up.
That's true. That's how that show began.
That is how that show began, and I stepped up.
Uh-huh.
That's
true.
I'm going to say, like, there's a part of me that's like, well, but what kind of dance are we talking about? And then I thought it through and I was like, it doesn't matter because I'm still going to step up. Either I'm going to step up and do it comedically or I'm going to step up and do it well or attempt to do it well. But I'm still getting on stage and doing it because fuck you. That's why. So.
Mm-hmm. I chose the wrench. yeah. All right. I would step up. Yeah, it's not going to be good, but it's going to be done.
Yeah, I'm sticking with my answer, which is stepping off. I am perfectly happy to regret this choice on my deathbed.
All right. Question number three. Envelope or enveloped? Hugs. Give or receive?
Oh. Give.
I love giving hugs.
Me too.
I will change mine. I dislike hugs, but I feel like giving... I'm a little bit more in control.
In control, yeah.
They're being imposed upon me against my
right.
Will,
so.
No, that is welfare.
I think because I'm so not a touch person. When I do get hugs, I super appreciate them. Like when I get comfortable hugs from that small list of people that I'm okay with getting hugs from. I forgot how to use my pipes appropriately. But so yeah, when I do, I love getting hugs because I otherwise don't. Sure. Whereas I like to give a hug, but since it's not as connective for me as other forms of like acts of service and things like that are for me, I'm like, well, I'm doing this thing for you. And I don't get as much out of giving them. Yeah. It's not to say that you shouldn't do things for other people that are not necessarily your thing, but it's harder for me to connect to that, if that makes sense. Sure. Yeah.
All right.
I love to hug.
I know, James.
What a surprise.
Everybody knows.
What a surprise. All right, question number four. Lead or led? What is your preferred role in a group project?
Hmm. Oh, I hate leading.
Yeah.
I'm perfectly happy to be led in a group project. I will absolutely sit back and let somebody else do all the work.
No. See, I lead so that I make other people do the work.
No, but the work of organizing it.
Oh, no, that's not
work. The work of figuring out what it is to do.
Like,
you figure all that out. You tell me what to do, I'll do it. But I'm not going to make decisions.
In the words of Joe, oh my God, even your games look like spreadsheets. I love organizing. Are you kidding me? This is delightful.
If I don't have to make a decision, it's a good day.
So I feel like I recognize a familiar set of symptoms here, which is that given the choice, most of us would prefer to be led. It's just that when we look around and see the people who would be doing the leading, we then feel obligated to step up and lead.
No, it is absolute. You are at 100%. There are many positions and roles that I have held where it's just like, well, nobody else is going to do this, so I guess it's me.
That's true. No, I mean, for me, it's actually, it is kind of a 50-50 as opposed, depending on what the project is or what it is that we're doing. But I do feel more comfortable overall as a leader.
Mm-hmm.
It's a thing I do. Yep.
We've noticed that about you.
What?
So, question number five, mittens or middens?
Mittens.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It looks like we have two contexts. Or maybe one is a clarification of the other, possibly. No, it's two different contexts. So, context number one. Anthropology or archaeology.
And it is.
I guess it is a clarification. When meeting a new group of people, do you prefer passive observation or active discovery? I'm happy with middens. I'm happy with my D.
Can you read that out loud for me again? I feel like I missed something.
Sure. Anthropology or archaeology? When meeting a new group of people, do you prefer passive observation or active discovery?
Yes.
I'm going archaeology. I will absolutely dig through people's coprolite before I have to actually interact with another person.
That's we know. We've heard. No, I tend to dive right in. Shocking no one.
I will choose passive observation, although I will also choose archaeology over anthropology because I prefer to passively observe the hands-on research that others have done.
So you don't actually want to be on a dig site. You just want to analyze the what has been found.
Exactly.
Yeah, I just like meeting people. In whatever form that takes, really.
See, I honestly would expect a bunch of you to have been passive observation because you know, you're storytellers, and that requires observation of the world around you. In many ways.
Yeah, but you can... Being active, though, you can still observe your finding just afterwards.
I suppose.
Yeah. Most of my stories are, okay, so we were out and drunk, wandering past a Walgreens and trying to hop the fence, which was unnecessary because it was decorative, when, that's how you do.
Yeah, I'm pretty observational after the fact, which is why I have stories to observe in the first place.
Okay.
I'd also say I've known many storytellers who are very invested in digging into other people's lives.
Okay. No,
there is that.
Yeah, there is also that, yeah.
All right. Well, that has been a Fast Five. If you would like to send in a Fast Five, please send two emails to salsa@aonpodcast.com. Please put the first email as the choices, and the second one, repeat those choices, and give us the context. This is your moment, Pablo. Who has something to plug?
Oh, I do. I waved my hand just so
did you write a list out?
And hey, you know how you told me to look it up online? And I did.
Oh, no.
But then I forgot. Yes. And now I'm having to pull it up again. Okay. Next Not So Silent Planet is November 16th. If you want to show up at a theater and read stories about space. Also, I have a book. I may have mentioned it at some point. There might be a link to it.
No. You should tell us about it all over again.
I've never heard anything about this book. Tell me about this book.
Hang on.
Hold on. Where is... Wait, no. Back up for a second.
Explain what a book is.
So,
Not So Silent Planet. Not So Silent Planet. Where is that taking place?
Strike Theater.
At Strike. Okay.
Northeast Minneapolis.
Cool.
Nice.
Whoop.
All right. So we have a show. Yeah, we have a show and a book. Anything else?
That's all I feel compelled to plug.
That's fine. Anybody else?
I am going to say that, originally I had so many things, but my life has taken a weird left-hand turn. So, the things that I regularly do, like my Wednesday streams and whatnot, I make zero promises on any of that actually happening. But if you follow Auntie Isla on Twitch, you'll know when it does. So you should just go do that. And then if there is a surprise stream, you will be involved with it. The
end. You will be surprised instead of uninformed.
Exactly.
James? Nice.
Not a fucking thing.
Me either. All right. Who has a shout out?
I'm going to give a shout out to Joe because he deserves it at the end. Go ahead.
Yeah, all right.
He knows what he did.
I'm going to give a shout out to my sister for a lot of reasons. She's very cool. She got the family together for a Halloween celebration, which included some of the best shepherd's pies I've ever had in my life. Shit. Yeah.
Right.
And then I would also like to give a shout out to Stedman and Maylin. Congratulations on your matrimony and many, many happy years to come involving me.
Okay, cool.
I was just gonna drop a shout out for Jeff Henry. He's a regular at the Not So Silent Planet who just published his first sci-fi collection called Dream Sequences. Jeff Henry Dream Sequences. Google it.
That's nice.
I'm going to give a shout out to Moscow on the Hill restaurant. Russian food, de-fucking-licious. No more needs to be said about that. All right. Any final thoughts?
Yeah. Bye, gallery? Bye, I love you. Bye.
In that case, thank you so very much to everybody for listening to this episode. Thank you to Philip Andrew Bennett Lowe for being our special guest.
Woo.
Yeah.
Applause for applause. Thank you.
See, it doesn't work on Zoom. We already talked about this.
Yeah. Thank
the
you.
Pause is built in.
Yeah, I'm reading the cue cards. Thank you to Cole McDonald for sending in a fast five. Hold for applause.
Yay!
On behalf of myself and James and Jenna, eat the fucking cake.
Take it away, Salsa.
Cha. Verbal Jazz Fingers.
Verbal Jazz Fingers is the name of my new Led Zeppelin cover band.